So I want to start off with us. We're going to travel back to around 62 AD, which is around 30 years after Jesus has died and risen again. Some major events have taken place in the last 60 years or so. Jesus and his miracles occurred and the forming of the modern day church. Paul is now sat in prison or under house arrest, which means he can't really be doing much himself to help out the church. But yet, while in prison, he is still preaching the gospel for which he was arrested for, and he is still helping the church. The passage today is from Ephesians. Ephesians is a set of letters that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. So what's important to know is that Ephesus is one of the most important commercial centers in the whole of the Roman province of Asia. Paul planted that church on his third missionary trip, and it was used as the center of the whole province of Asia to hear the word of the Lord, which it says this in Acts 19, verses 8 to 10. After Paul had left Passion's church after 3 years, he placed Timothy in charge, who led the church, who then passed it on to John, and that's John, who was friends with Jesus. The letters Paul wrote to Ephesus were often called quintessential Paul, as it mostly summarized all of Paul's teachings. So now we have an understanding of what Ephesians is and the context around it. Our passage today is titled The Armor of God. Now, many of us have heard the armor of God. It's one of those topics we get taught quite young or quite early in our faith, like the fruit of the Spirit, or like stories like David and Goliath. But actually, it's so important in our everyday. So I'm going to ask a little help to start off. I need a lovely model, which will be Grace. So, as we can see, I've got a few props here. So we're going to start off with the breastplate of righteousness, which is my lovely clean work jacket, which is for when I'm doing my woodworking in the garage. So, I'm just going to get my notes so I know what I'm saying. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes living a life of moral uprightness. Now, next is the belt of truth, and I thought, seeing as we're almost at Christmas, we may as well get a little tinsel in there. I think it looks great, Grace, I'm going to be honest.
Thank you.
Next is we need the shoes ready to announce the good news of the gospel. The shoes of the good news calls for readiness to share the gospel. Now, I think you can't really be more ready than wearing wellies. You can go out in the snow, you can go out in the mud. I think you're pretty prepared when you wear wellies. Next, we have the shield of faith. This is my shield of faith. It's a bin lid. I haven't really got a metaphor for this one. It's just shield-like. The shield of faith brings a strong faith that can distinguish the flaming arrows of our enemy. Next is we have the helmet of salvation in the form of my bike helmet. I think when you're riding a bike, you need to protect your head for if you fall off the bike. So the helmet of salvation is assurance of salvation and protection of the mind. And finally, we have the sword of the Spirit. Now, I don't have a sword, so I've got a sword. This is my sword. So here is my sword. The sword of the Spirit shows the importance of using God's word as a weapon. Now, there is an enemy out there that we cannot see. He is ready to steal, kill, and destroy. From thoughts of self-doubt or being insulted to falling out with friends or arguing with someone, he can often distract us and tempt us from living a life with Jesus. So I feel like Grace is pretty prepared for whatever may come her way, whether it's a few lab chemicals or a bit of mud or a piece of wood. She is now ready to make her way through the day. So thank you very much, Grace. You can take those off. Yeah, I'll take the sword. Ephesians 3 verse 10 talks of how Gentiles and Jews will put aside division. I think we need to put aside our division in the world around us. We need to join together in unity, create one church, create power and strength to fight our battles and defeat the devil. One of my favorite worship songs says, "It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you." And then it says, "This is how I fight my battles." Our passage today prepares us for a battle, the spiritual battle we face every day. I find that quite often people say that they're surrounded, but we need to understand who we are surrounded by, and we need to put ourselves in situations where we are surrounded by him and only him. The more I read this passage from today, the more I understand it's not about preparing to fight, but receiving and accepting the grace and the gifts of God for my everyday battles. That's not to say they're not for the one specific battle, but they are for our everyday. So how do we wear the armor of God? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Paul says in verse 18, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help, pray for every occasion, never give up, and pray for all God's people. Now, I find there's so much in this one verse for us to take away. We are told to do everything we do in prayer. I find it quite difficult, and I will touch on that more in a second. And then it says, never give up. I think it's so important in the world we live in today that we can't give up. We can't just stop just because something is getting more difficult than we first assumed or first attempted. People often say it's not about the physical response, and sometimes we need to pray in a situation. But I think that's almost the wrong idea. I think it undermines what prayer is and what prayer does. Prayer is not a thing we should do when physical options aren't available or don't work out. Prayer should be our first call of action. Prayer should happen 24/7, 365 days a year. Prayer is a physical response. We don't pray passively, we pray actively. We pray and then we act. We pray and God communicates. We pray and God acts. When we pray, God responds. When we pray, God talks to earth so that eternity enters time. The armor of God can only come from one place, and that is because it's God's armor. The armor we are given is God's armor, and it comes from him. It was worn by him first, and he crafted it, and he perfected it. There is nothing in the armor which is unneeded or extra weight or unnecessary. It's all needed in the perfect ratio to protect us in everything we do and make sure we are safe and ready for our battles. Our life is a battle. Everything we do is a battle. But fortunately, we are on the winning side. We live in a world full of hardship every single day, with lies, cheating, betrayal, abandonment, persecution, and chaos. We live our lives and we cannot hear it. We can't see it, but deep down, we can feel it. A constant attack that is all around. Chaos and evil is out there, seeking to destroy, kill, and divide, leaving us in despair, empty inside. But when the devil starts to fight, he knows us well. He knows how to break us. But we are prepared and we are supported by his truth. And our righteousness is our passion. The gospel of peace fights back, breaking down the lies, fighting the chaos. The shield of faith pushes back all attack, deflects blow after blow. The helmet of salvation protects our thoughts. And the sword of the spirit fights back. And with our enemy collapsing and failing, he is defeated by the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So we have our armor. We have the armor for our everyday. We have the shield of faith. The shield of faith deflects everything that comes our way. When the flaming arrows of the devil come at us, the shield is there and deflects them all. When we are told lies, when we are hurt, when we are betrayed, the helmet of salvation protects our thoughts. No matter what comes our way, our helmet protects our mind, protects our thoughts, and protects our actions. The shoes ready to share the gospel. These are also known as the shoes of peace, the peace that goes beyond all understanding. But these are the shoes that shares the gospel. When we walk out of this building, we set a fire. We are on fire for Jesus and we lead with fire. When we lead with these shoes, wherever we go, God is there sharing the gospel in all our situations. We have the belt of truth. The belt of truth that cannot be denied. It is always true, it is always willing, and it will always win. It cannot be defeated because it is true. We have the breastplate of righteousness. It is righteous. It is right. It is not wrong, and it cannot be proven wrong because it is righteous and it is right. And finally, we have our sword of the Spirit. Our sword is our one weapon. The ratio we are given is all armor, one weapon, because we do not need to fight. This isn't a retaliation to our attack. This is for us to push forward. We are protected, and this is for us to push forward because there's only one way we can win this battle, and it's to push forward together as one unity with Jesus, and that is the only way we can go forward. So Ruby is going to talk to us about what we can do practically in our everyday to utilize the armor of God. Thank you very much.
Told you I was a bit bumbly. Just dropped my clicker. So yeah, as Jacob said, I'm going to talk to us a little bit more about the practical response and the importance that that holds. And my first bit of advice is actually just to remember what the armour of God is. It sounds really simple, but actually, learning what it is can help us be reminded of its power. And I don't really have a choice whether I know the armour of God. This year, I had the joy of serving at New Wine, and I shared a tent with the lovely ladies that were doing the kids' team. So I was doing quite late nights, and they were doing quite early mornings. So I would try and sneak into the tent at 11:30 as to not wake them. I'm getting some frowny faces from the front. And then at 6:30, they would wake up and go off to their teams. But in the process, they would sing a wonderful song. We are going to hear it at the end of today, so I won't give you a personal rendition. However, I'm sure that would be appreciated. And it talks very simply about each piece of armour. Now, I find myself, I'm sat in exams writing, and I'm like, I've got the sword of the Spirit. And I'm like, I can't get it out of my head. However, it can be helpful, actually, in situations where I need to remind myself of what it is that is on my side. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is the shield of faith. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I think it's important... I'm so sorry, my notes are on my phone. It's important to remember who our God is. And I know, again, very basic Christian advice. However, remind ourselves that we don't only worship a God who made the seas, but he parted them. And no matter what struggle it is that we are going through, which it can feel like it is absolutely massive, actually, when we look at that in terms of the size of the world, it can seem a little bit smaller. Put it into practice and study what we're told about Jesus. Because if we know what God has already done, then it is easier to see him and how he can be working in our lives in order to extinguish the things that we might not even know we're getting fired. And our struggle is one that we don't have to muster up the strength to fight on our own. God has already given us these things. We don't have to find it from within ourselves. I think there's quite a big culture at the minute of finding your inner strength and finding it from within yourself. You don't have to find it from within. You can look up and you can find your strength there. The Good News shoes. I do actually have a pair of Converse that have Good News shoes, but I left them at home. So we're just going to go with it. And your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. I'm a very, very visual and literal person. So I think when I think about it, when you walk into a room, the first things that go are your feet. I mean, I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. However, what is it that you walk into a room and feel equipped with? What's the first thing that you think goes in? Is it the news of Jesus? Is it the thing that you are rooted in? Your feet are your physical foundation. Is Jesus where you think you are rooted in? And what can you do in your life to try and sort of potentially elevate that a little bit and actually think every room that I walk into, how can I make this about him and not about me? The belt of truth. I think this is potentially one of the bits that I found the most interesting. When I was looking into doing this, I was like, oh, how can I think about practical application? Because this is something everyone's going to have heard before. Most people in this room, this will not be the first person that you have heard stand up here or stand up in general in a church and tell you about God's armour. However, the belt of truth, I think, can be a really interesting one to look at. And our greatest struggle can sometimes be against those things that get into our head and make us think that we're not equipped, or that God can't use us, or even that God isn't there. You cannot discern the lies of the enemy until you know the truths of the Father. Learn this. Let me hook up my Bible. Until you know what God says about you in here, you can't know that what the enemy is saying isn't true. I think Jesus used people, didn't he, of all ages and all jobs and all backgrounds to do his work. You would struggle to find someone in there that didn't feel exactly the way that you do about why you can't be used. And God used them anyway. The lies of the enemy have a lot more power when you're unaware that they're not true. Because if you're thinking that your thoughts and the way that you're feeling is the truth, then you're going to believe it. You're not going to speak to that person because they might not want to know what you have to say. Or you're not going to volunteer to do that job because that should be for someone that does it a little bit differently than you do. And I think it's important to learn about genuine, real scripture says about you. I think there's a lot of people that can go, I know the Bible. But when I say, what is it that God's telling you about you in your life at the minute, they would really struggle to pick out something. I don't have time today to go in depth about all of the sort of individual pieces of armour. However, there are some really, really good plans on YouVersion. I mentioned one at the very, very end about sort of how all the parts play an individual role and then come together. And I think that can be done over a series of weeks, series of days. There's one called Real Hope, Armour of God, and it's really good. You can access it online, you can access it through the app. And I think it can really be helpful if this is something that you think, I really want to know more about it. But I'm going to take a slightly different spin on the end of today, because I'm fully aware that you've probably heard something like this before. And when I was looking into it, I was thinking, what a blessing it is that we have the armour of God. We live in a world that is constantly, feels like it's engulfed in evil. I think it's really hard to sometimes see the good. But we have a defence that people that aren't Christian don't have yet. Do you want to emphasise the yet? However, they don't yet know that they've got that. You will never look someone in the eyes who isn't loved enough by God that Jesus wouldn't have died for their salvation alone. That quote, I was going to say I read it, definitely saw it on Instagram, not going to lie. However, for me, that really changed the way that I approach situations. Because even the cashier, who do I think I am? The cashier at a shop, or the person that you bump into every now and again, and you think you're the neighbour, but you don't know exactly where they live. That person. The person that takes a little bit too long to make the coffee from the pot in the office, and you think, oh, even that person, loved enough by Jesus that he would have died for them. So what is it that you choose to do with that truth? Do you sit with it and go, oh, this is actually quite canny, this. Not going to lie, quite appreciative that I know this. Or does it change the way that you interact with everyone around you? Because sometimes we are the best representatives that people have. Sometimes we're the only representatives. If you're the only Christian in your school or in your workplace, you might be the only person that someone can look at as an example. We live in a broken world, and I don't think I need to tell you that. I think we can constantly look around and see places where we feel like the enemy is winning a battle. And what are you going to do in your life with the knowledge that God's going to win the war? Because we as Christians know that God's going to win, but not everyone else does. And sometimes that doesn't look like straight up evangelism. Sometimes that looks like being a little bit positive. Don't mean to use myself as an example there. That was an accidental link back. But sometimes it's about trying to look on the bright side a little bit, because you know that in the end, it's going to be okay. And sometimes it can look a little bit different, and it can look like just being there and supporting someone. But you have the armor of God going into your life after today. What is it that you are going to choose to do with that extra level of protection? We looked at Elliot's video, which was fabulous. And had he had someone behind him that hadn't had armor on, they would have also had that little bit of extra protection because there was someone there fighting for them. Maybe it's praying for your friends. Maybe it's, you know, giving someone a Christmas card that is a little bit more Jesus-centered than the one you were going to. It can be little things that I think can really make a difference. We're going to move on to the response time now, but I think I do have, yeah. So U version, Real Hope, Armour of God. I really do recommend it. I did it myself about a year ago, actually, and I found it to be really helpful. And I think that if you're thinking, oh, I kind of want to look into this a little bit further, this can be really, really helpful. I am going to hand over to Abby now for the response.